You're listening to Ian Miles Chung, and with me I have Kari Walgren, the voice of Aranea in Final Fantasy XV. She's with me here to talk about her upcoming game, her previous work in anime, cartoons, and video games, and how she got started in the business and what her opinions are on a variety of topics.
How do you get your start doing voiceover work for video games?
Well, I always kind of knew that I wanted to do voiceovers as part of my career. I loved cartoons when I was a kid, and so I went and I got a theater degree and started auditioning in Kansas City before I moved out to LA and did some radio commercials and things like that. And so when I moved out to Los Angeles, I started trying to find a voiceover agent and auditioning for different projects. And one of the first things that I booked out in LA was actually Furikuri, FLCL.
Oh. Yeah.
And that ended up being a really popular anime title and kind of introduced me to the anime world. And so I started doing some more of that. And in the meantime, I had found an agent and started auditioning and started booking some video games as well. So it all just kind of blew up.
It all came together all at once.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, you know, like, I mean, you set out to do something and little did you know, I mean, a few years later and you're in pretty much everything.
Well, a few things. Yeah. Here and there.
Yeah.
It's really cool too, because, you know, I had kind of thought that I'd like to do more on camera work when I first moved to Los Angeles, because I always knew that I wanted to do voiceover as well, but I, you know, when I moved to LA, I thought, well, there's a lot of on camera opportunities out there. And so when it really kind of took off on the voiceover side, that was very unexpected. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because I've come back around and done a number of on-camera things as well, but I find the voiceover work actually a lot more fun and fulfilling than the on-camera. So it's worked out really well, just not how I expected.
Mm-hmm. What do you usually do to prepare for your characters in when you do voiceover work?
It's different for every job, because sometimes you know exactly what you're going in for, and you know if it's based on a comic book, you can read the comic books. If it's based on a book, you can look at the book, or if it's based on a live action TV show or movie, and they're making it into a cartoon, you can do some research. And then other times, you know, you get cast in something and there's a code name for the project and you just go in and you have your lines out of context and you're not recording with anybody else. And you really don't know what it is that you're working on. So in those cases, you just have to trust your director and you know, make the best acting choices that you can and hope that they're going to kind of guide you to where the character needs to be for the project.
Right, because, I mean, there have been video games where I've heard, you know, some voice actors would be given lines or, you know, told to say certain things, and it doesn't really come out quite as they expect in the game itself, right? I mean, like... Like Deus Ex, the previous one, like there's a new one, and like I was listening to Elias Dufexis. Do you know the guy? He does
No, I don't think I do. The name sounds familiar, but I don't think I've met him.
Okay, yeah. He does the main character in Deus Ex.
Cool.
And yeah, and he was in the Expanse, the TV show. He was a bad guy there. But he was saying how, you know, in the previous game, you know, they were just in the recording booth and he would just read his lines. But this time around, the new game, you know, he was actually given context, direction for his character. And it got me to thinking how in the previous one of the actors was reading lines and it came out sounding like a sort of a caricature of a person, right? And
okay, and
game journalists got really upset over it because of how it portrayed this character as like a minority, right? So I was thinking, okay, I mean, what you said makes sense, right? I mean, if an actor isn't given proper direction, then stuff like that tends to happen, right? So Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can be tricky, and I definitely understand, you know, now that we're in this age of social media and everything, mm-hmm. and things get leaked online, and you know, I can definitely understand why the game companies and the cartoon companies are trying to really, really work extra hard to keep quiet about things that they're creating.
Yeah.
It can be tricky sometimes when you go in from the acting side and you're not quite sure how it all fits into the big picture of the project. But you know, most of the time if you're lucky, you get, like I said, a great director that really can kind of guide you and mm-hmm. and help you along enough to know how this puzzle piece fits into the big, you know, jigsaw puzzle of the game. And sometimes you'll get to see artwork or a little bit of in-game fighting or a trailer for the project that you're working on. And, right. and that's always really cool, 'cause that gets you really excited about what you're working on. So
yeah,
you just kind of have to be prepared for anything and sort of be ready to roll with it.
Yeah. How what's it like to work with Square Enix? I mean, I know you've been with them for ages. I mean, you did voice Ash, for example.
Yeah, it's especially with the whole Final Fantasy franchise. I mean, it's been such a cool experience to get to work on that. I mean, I remember before booking Final Fantasy 12, and now I've worked on, you know, like three or four of the Final Fantasy games. And,
yeah.
but you know, when I booked that first one, it was a big deal. It's such a beloved franchise that, mm-hmm. you know, you get excited as a,
yeah.
A fan and an actor to get to work on that. So, so it was a great honor to, mm-hmm. to get to work with them. And, you know, the quality of what they're doing with their games is just kind of astonishing. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have created some of the, perhaps some of the most iconic video games for, you know, in history, right?
Yeah.
Did you play video games growing up? I mean, you did mention that you were a fan of Final Fantasy.
I played the early days of PlayStation.
Oh.
But I have to admit, I'm a terrible gamer. So I play, but I play badly. So people are like, oh my gosh, do you love seeing your characters in the games and stuff? And I have to be honest, mm-hmm. like, unless my character appears in the beginning of the game, I will get killed off repeatedly and never see my characters if they're like later in the game. So it's cute. Like a couple of fans will send me in-game, mm-hmm. you know, videos of like, here's your character towards the end of this game. And I'm like, thank you. I would never be able to play well enough to get there. So
yeah. Fortunately, now, you know, everybody records their gameplay, so you can just watch a Let's Play on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, which is fascinating. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching my friends play, mm-hmm. my friends that are, like, really good gamers. I mean, you can just get sucked in and watch them play for hours. It's kind of hypnotic.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that that's taken off.
Yeah, it's. I mean, when it became a thing, I think South Park made an episode about it, right? I mean, I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah.
I bet they did.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And it was like, you know, the question that they were asking was, why is everybody even watching this? You know, like, what's this popular? But I guess it is, you know, it's just become a thing. And
it's hypnotic. It's,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So okay, changing tracks here slightly. So you've played a lot of antagonists before, like in Eureka 7, Anemone comes to mind, right? She's the she's the foil for the main character, and then now you're playing the one again with Aranea Highwind. Tell me about Aranea.
Well, I can tell you just a little bit about her. They have sworn me to so much secrecy that, like, if I say too much, there's just going to be, you know, a ninja with a blow dart or something that's going to take me out here in my room. So, but I can say that she's a professional mercenary fighter, and she's been hired to captain this troop. And she's very edgy. She's very street smart, this sort of thing. But because she is a gun for hire, her loyalties are always kind of in question and could change depending on who the highest bidder is or who she actually isn't bored with. So I think it's going to be fun for players in the game to kind of just to see her morally ambiguous side come out and whether or not she's going to help the players or mess things up for them. So that's about all I can say.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you about, you know, what the chemistry would be like between Aranea and Noctis and his group of friends. And would you be able to answer that?
No, wait and see. I say this all with just a sly little smile on my face because, that exact thing was one of my favorite parts of playing her was that kind of whole chemistry and interaction and stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a treat.
Mm-hmm. Usually when for this character, when you were recording her, were you recording with the other voice actors in the booth or was this something that you did solo?
I did all of it solo. We mostly do with video games, solo recording sessions, which is, you know, another reason that you just have to, as an actor, you've got to be really in the world and really tap into your imagination because you don't have those other actors to play off of. One of my favorite things though is when they've had another actor that you're doing a scene with, when they've recorded first, then sometimes when you go in the studio, they'll say, okay, so we're going to just play so-and-so that we recorded earlier so that you can kind of play off of what he or she did. And that's always great. That kind of just gives you a little bit more of something to work with.
Like some proper
studio
context. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, you know, voiceovers are of course separate from localization, but, are you allowed to put like your own spin on this Japanese character?
That's it. You know what? That's a great question. And that pops up not only in video games that come over, from, you know, being created somewhere else first, but also with anime, obviously.
Yeah. Right.
So it depends on the project. There have been a few video games that I've worked on where I've been hired to play some sort of like military badass character, and they will play it in the original Japanese, and the character is supposed to be like in her 30s, and the commander of some, you know, super military army or something, and the original Japanese will sound very, very sweet and young. And so when they, you know, it'll sound, you know, up here and stuff like that and very sweet and, oh, you know, let's go get them in battle.
Wow. That's amazing.
So when they bring the game over and they recreate it in English, there is definitely a sensibility difference. Right. And the clients and the director will all say, you know what, an American audience is not going to buy that is a woman in her 30s who kills people before breakfast and, you know, runs an army.
Right.
So they may pitch her down and, you know, we're going to go into battle and, you know, shoot them up. So, so in those cases, sometimes we get to kind of do a slightly different interpretation just so it will communicate better to an American audience.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have, like with an anime show or something, you've got the creators and the original clients of the project, and they have a very, very specific sound and characterization that they want from something. And then it's kind of your job to honor what the original character was and to get it as specific as you can because you're hired to make a client happy. So
right. Yeah. How often does that happen? I mean, when the, say, the original director says, oh, I want it to be specifically like this.
It happens frequently. It's happened a lot more in anime as it kind of comes to my mind. And again, that's tricky because my choices that I would make as a voice actor might be very different, but right. I'm hired to make this client happy and to realize their vision. So it's, you know, it's a balancing act. You have to bring what you can to the character, but you have to be very, very respectful of what they want. So, yeah, it's happened a lot and knock on wood, I've made it work. So
yeah, knock on wood, I've got a little wooden desk here. So there you go.
No, I like it. I'm knocking on my wooden floor as we speak.
Nice. What do you think of, you know, localization in general? Do you think, I mean, like, you know, there have been some accusations where certain animes were meddled with, right? Or even in video games, you know, where the localizers who work at Nintendo America would change certain lines of dialogue to change the way characters are. And this has upset a lot of fans. But what's your view on that?
You know, I feel like a lot of that goes back to exactly what we were talking about, because sometimes I can understand the dilemma because for instance, when we're translating a game or an anime from Japanese, there might be puns or jokes that don't translate.
Right.
You know, if they do an exact translation of the line, the joke, as it's meant in the original language, just doesn't translate to English.
Like,
so,
yeah. Like in Phoenix, yeah, so right. Yeah.
Sometimes they have to make changes, I think, to make it more accessible for an American audience. And sometimes it gets a little... It gets into a little bit of a gray area. I know with Naruto, I did the role of Tayuya. And in the original Japanese, she swears a lot more.
Yeah.
And because they were going to be airing it, you know, during kid hours on Cartoon Network and such, they had to really clean up her translation. And you know, some of the fans were really bummed about it. And I kind of was too, just because she's so edgy and filthy and stuff like that. But I understand that maybe they can't pitch that to 6 or 7 year olds in America. So,
right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a delicate dance.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it might be, I mean, there are instances where the localizer might go over the line. Like for instance, when they replace serious lines of dialogue with memes, you know,
You know, I think it can get pushed over the line, but I don't envy the people that are in that position to make those calls, because that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Yeah, and I mean, again, people do have, I mean, in some cases at least, people do have the option to choose between subtitles and dubs, right? So
yeah, and I think that's been the absolute best thing to happen, because that makes the subs versus dubs a non-issue. Great. Yeah. if you want to watch it in the original Japanese, or you know, whatever language the project is in, that's great, awesome. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch it with the dubbed version, awesome, great, you've got that option too. I love that it's becoming more and more of a choice and an option for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they don't change the dubs as well, that would make no sense. I mean, could you imagine if you spoke Japanese and the subs were like, hold on a sec, that's not what he or she said.
I know. And man, these script translators, I have some friends that do it and they just rip their hair out sometimes because, you know, especially when you have to match up sync with mouth flaps and there's pre-existing picture stuff, you know, then they're locked in even further.
Yeah.
So holy cow, that's a tough job. I don't envy it at all.
Yeah. Like, it's probably not as hard as when you're working on a video game and you can just, you know, the mouth flapping is something you can alter, right? It's just an engine thing. Or there's no animation at all, right? It's just lines
of
dialogue.
Yeah, it all depends on the game. And sometimes they've got the time and the budget to reanimate the mouths, and sometimes you have to make it fit.
Mm-hmm.
It just really depends on the project.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like dubbing over the lines in a movie, right? Like,
yeah,
you remember that, you know, like when they swear in The Big Lebowski, you know, where he says,
yeah,
don't fuck a stranger in the ass, right? That's what he says. But and it's like they changed it to what, don't mess with a stranger in the Alps or something like that, right?
Oh my gosh, that's
yeah,
I'm just shaking my head. Not the same thing at all.
Yeah. Nope. The second one makes no sense. speaking of no sense, I guess. So you know, you played a voice of Kasumi in at least some of the Dead or Alive games, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Lady in DMC4. Awesome character. So over the, you know, over the past couple of years, I don't know if you've been keeping up the social media controversy and stuff. But, you know, there's been a lot of complaints over how women are depicted as part of a, you know, broader conversation about women in video games. And, and you know, some websites have even criticized Final Fantasy XV for focusing on four male characters. What's your take on that stuff?
You know, just in general, it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's like any other side, it's like any other facet of entertainment. There are some games and movies and cartoons where it's not the most challenging visions of women.
Yeah.
And then there are other games and cartoons and movies where there are great representations of women. And I don't know, I think the important thing is to just make sure that the community is working towards including more women in the writing, in the directing, in the voice acting, because the more diversity you get in putting the projects together, I think the more well-rounded characters you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely concur. You know, it's all about having more voices, and, you know.
Yeah, and that goes for so many things. You know, it goes for diversity in the ethnicities of characters that we see, and you know, it's just, I think the more voices you bring to the table on a project, the more those issues are going to sort of even out.
Yeah, and personally speaking, I do think it is, you know, like the media especially shouldn't just be, you know, complaining about, say, the lack of diversity within, say, one project, right? Instead, they should be highlighting all the other projects that do bring that diversity to the table, right?
Mm.
Because right now, you know, if you follow the news, it's only complaints. So it's just one complaint after the other. Why isn't this and this like this, right? You know, instead of, why not celebrate the ones that do it, you know, that bring that
because it's more fun to complain. It's more I mean, seriously, it's more fun, it's more you know,
yeah,
it's more shocking and titillating to focus on the negative, but I don't know, I see good things happening, so I guess I'm a glasses half full kind of girl, so I'm choosing to think that there is progress being made there.
I mean, there absolutely is, you know. I mean, there has been for ages and ages, right? I mean, if you actually, I mean, like, Hyun career speaks for itself because, you know, you've played dozens of strong female characters over the years, and yet, despite this being the case, you know, some publications will say that, oh, you know, video games are only now offering strong female protagonists. And I mean, as someone who has voiced these characters for many, many years, how do you feel about, you know, being, I guess, erased from that narrative?
It's a good question. Again, I mean, I think people are going to come from their angle of experience or what they are perceiving. And I think over the years I've been really lucky to play some strong female characters, and they're always my favorite ones to play. And I've played some not female characters. I've played some bimbos. I mean, it's, but you know, it's, you just, honestly, at the end of the day, you can't really focus too much on that. You just have to keep putting the work out there. And like I said, you know, the business as a whole has to just keep, you know, getting more people with more angles and points of view to work on the projects. And that's how progress is made. It's not oftentimes very flashy, but it is how it, you know, it's how new content is created, and these new depictions of characters are finally, you know, seen and break out and more mainstream. So,
What would be your you know, if you had like a character in mind, to like as a favorite, what would you like to play? What kind of character would you prefer to play?
oh gosh, that's a hard one. I don't know. Like, anytime I think of something, it's something that I've ended up getting to do. Like, for the longest time, I wanted to play a Jedi. And then, you know, I've now done a few Star Wars games, and I've gotten to be a Jedi. You know, I'm the right now in the Old Republic, if you play as the female Jedi Knight, that's me. And so that was a dream for a really long time. You know, and superheroes, as I've always been like such a lover of superheroes, and I've gotten to play those now. So yeah, I don't know. I can't think of one thing that I think, oh, I haven't gotten to do this and I really want to.
That's a nice problem to have.
It's a great problem. I can't complain.
No, that really is a great problem to have because I mean you had some dreams, you know, like, oh yeah, I want to play this character. I wish I could play her. And then now you have, like, you're the main character in a Star Wars game. I mean, that's awesome.
It's pretty exciting. I actually like getting surprised. I like getting surprised by characters that I wouldn't have thought of, and then when I get cast as them, I'm like, oh, this is an exciting new challenge. So
When you do you go to fan meetups? I mean, like, say, cons, conventions and stuff?
I do. I don't go to a lot of them, but I do go to conventions once in a while. Yeah.
Well, what do the I mean, what's your interaction with the fans like? Do they, you know, do they walk up to you and be like, "Hey, Carrie," or, you know, do they recognize you by your voice? I mean, like, how does that work?
And it's Kari, like Ferrari.
Carrie. Ah, sorry. I
That's
apologize.
okay. That's actually one thing that fans ask me a lot. So, how do you pronounce your name? And it's actually Kari, rhymes with Ferrari. And yeah, the interaction at the conventions are usually really wonderful. You know, fans will come up and they'll talk about, oh, I watched this cartoon with my son and daughter, and oh, this video game or this anime show got me through a really tough time in my life. And it's very meaningful. Because so much of our voiceover work is recorded alone, mm-hmm. It can be a very isolating experience. You know, you kind of do your funny voices or whatever, and you think, well, I hope that mattered, you know, mm-hmm. and then to go to the conventions, you actually get to be face to face with people and hear that something that you did made a difference. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't, I mean, I guess I can imagine what that's like, but you know, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's what you, I mean, it's interesting knowing that, you know, something that you did, something you worked on had that kind of impact on another person, right? You're not just doing
it's
it for yourself.
It's very powerful. Yeah. Yeah. And you just, when you're doing it, you know, you just have, a lot of times you just have an engineer and a director there, and that's mm-hmm. the only people that you're interacting with when you actually record things. So yeah, it's very humbling and incredibly powerful to actually meet people and to hear that, you know,
yeah,
that it connected with someone.
Yeah. What do you feel like when you, I mean, do you ever, watch the stuff that you've been in? I mean, what's your reaction to, like, your character, right, within the finished product?
I will watch things, not all the time. It's mm-hmm. hard to watch it objectively, because when I watch things, then I start thinking, oh, you know, I could have done that line differently, or oh, I don't know, that I'm very much a perfectionist, so sometimes it's hard to watch things that I've done and kind of just enjoy it. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, I will watch certain things, and I love watching Rick and Morty. Actually, that's one of the few things that I've worked on where I actually love watching it as a fan myself. So
yeah,
that's a fun one.
Those guys are hilarious. I mean, I imagine they're as funny as the show is in real life, aren't they?
Oh yeah. They're so smart. Their brains mm-hmm. are working like at 200 miles an hour. It's a pretty genius thing to watch.
Yeah. And I mean, the main characters, Rick and Morty, are voiced by the same voice actor, right? I mean, even though he writes the lines as well, which is absolutely.
Yeah. Justin's awesome. He's just one of the most insanely talented guys I've ever met. So he's mm-hmm. writing, he's directing, he's doing the voices of the two main characters. He's a force of nature, that one.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it, but he did the one where, like, the court transcripts, right? The judge and the convict were, like, yelling at each other, and it's like a real life, it was based on a real life court transcript. I think they showed it at Comic-Con. Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. Oh my gosh, I'll have to check that out.
You do, yeah, you totally do. Like, you know, when they released it at Comic-Con, it was just a series of black and white pictures, right? But some fans, I guess, colored it and everything. You know, they animated the thing slightly. So it's like an actual episode of Rick and Morty, and it is just the best.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Have you had people do that for work that you've done, you know, where they show you some fan creation but using your voice?
I don't think I've gotten that as much as I've gotten fan artwork, which I mm-hmm. love. Oh my gosh, when people post or send me fan artwork of characters that I've voiced, that's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. I mean, that's fun.
It always amazes me how creative people are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's always, I love that. Please, people, send me your artwork. I love seeing it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, we've been going on for 36 minutes now, which is pretty awesome. when you first started, did you ever imagine that you would, you know, you would one day be, like, headlining video games and animes and stuff like that?
You know, I think I hoped that I would be doing mm-hmm. it for a living, but the degree that it's taken off has been very surprising, wonderful surprise. So yeah, I never expected it to be quite this big, which is a very humbling surprise.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions or advice that you'd like to give to any aspiring voice actors out there?
You know, I get asked that a lot. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, and the biggest things that I tell people are to, first of all, get to know your voice, which seems so basic, and yet, you know how sometimes you'll like call and leave a message on somebody's answering machine and then you'll play it back and you'll say, man, do I really sound like that? People don't oftentimes have a really solid sense of what their voice sounds like and what it can do. So really getting to know your voice and trying different things. How high can my voice go? How low can my voice go? What characters, you know, or commercial copy or whatever kind of voiceover you're wanting to do, like what are my strengths? So kind of getting to know your voice is super important, and reading out loud every day. Yeah. I say to people, pick up a magazine, pick up a book off your shelf and just read one page out loud, because cold reading skills in the studio are so important. It's not unusual for me to go in and have an 80 some page script that I've never seen before. At a session.
Yeah.
So getting comfortable with that is also going to really help you.
Speaking of reading, have you ever done any audiobooks? I mean, I know some voice actors who have done that.
I personally haven't, but I have friends that have done it.
Yeah. I think you'd be good for it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And the other question that I had was, do you ever, you know, find yourself speaking in like a different accent or different, you know, one of your characters' voices, you know, in everyday speech?
I don't know if I necessarily find myself talking in my character voices, but I got these two new kittens that are just the smallest, cutest little spazzy bundles of love. And it is very difficult not to baby talk to these kittens. So I try to talk in my regular voice to them, but you know, you just start going, oh, you're such a little cutie. You know, it's awful. I cannot help myself. So yes, the kittens get talked to in character voices sometimes.
Yeah. That's the thing about puppies and kittens is that they'll bring out a part of us that we didn't even think was, you know, we were capable of, right?
I mean, It's so true.
Like, I have a little dog. She's sleeping on my bit right now.
What kind? What kind of dog?
She's a mutt, actually. She's a, you know, yes. Those are the best. Yeah.
They're totally the best.
Yeah. Probably don't care, but, well, I guess you do. Someone dumped her outside of my mom's place. So, yeah.
So you rescued her, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way to go. Everybody out there, rescue. If you're wanting an animal, please, please, please rescue. There are so many that need a good home. So, good for you.
Yeah. What about your kittens? What kind of cats are they?
Little mutts. They're I think they're little mixes of something, but they're pretty adorable. If anybody follows me on Instagram or wants to follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, you can find me at Kari Walgren or Kari Walgren Official at most of those places. And I post a lot of pictures of my cats. So I'm just warning you all right now that there are pretty disgusting amounts of kitten pictures. Be warned.
I would assume that, I mean, since we talked, that they're rescues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to go. Way to go.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Wow. this was a fun, I think, conversation. I mean, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about? I mean, we can go on forever if you want.
No, thank you so much for having me. This was just such a great conversation, and you're ending on talking about animals, which is such a soft spot in my heart. So
yeah,
that's a pretty great great thing. But yes, I love hearing from fans. I love trying to keep in touch with as many people as I can. So if anyone does want to reach out and say hello, I'm on Twitter at Kari Walgren. I'm on Instagram at Kari_Walgren. And I've got the Kari Walgren official Facebook fan page. Please say hello.
And I guess I'll follow you too.
yes, please do.
yeah. I mean, if you do follow me back, please be warned that I tweet a lot about contentious issues, and you may not necessarily like what you see.
Well, thanks for the heads up. I will balance that out with kitten pictures.
Ah, that totally works.
There we go.
It totally works. So you're at Twitter, Kari Walgren. There you go. Okay, yeah, I'm following you now. I'm
Hey. Hi.
Yeah. You should probably have a pop-up somewhere because I'm verified. Oh, I got a blue tick.
rock on. I will find you. I will find you.
Excellent. Excellent. This was excellent. This was fun. You know, we should definitely talk more. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And such a pleasure. And I hope that you will post a picture of your dog.
I will. I'll send it to you. Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good one. And thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is great. Yeah.
Okay. Take care.
You too. You too. Later.
Bye.
Bye.